following podcast has been brought to you by Bantercrow. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the Ramble Mania Show proudly brings to you. It is I, your former nine-time Ramble Mania heavyweight champion, Hazel, the Eye Zombie. And I am joined along with in his show.
It is I, your current nine-time reigning, defending, undisputed Ramble Mania champion of the world, TJ the Great 2. TJ the Great. And once again, we are the Banter Club. Well, I am one half of the Banter Club. The other half, he is still on his break, but he will be back very soon. Of course, we discuss AEW Dynamite on the Hoes Network here on the Banter Club.
I've got hoes.
We got them hoes. And you know what? They on break too. Because operations are halted at the moment. Before we talk about Dynamite, we talk about the news items in and out and about the world of pro wrestling. And there's a lot going on. Of course, we've got big pay-per-views from both major companies coming up next weekend. And on the AEW side of things, there's a lot of drama going on backstage.
There's too much drama.
Yeah. It's been talked about. We talked about it. Everybody talked about it. This point was always going to come. Anybody who's ever been in any type of workplace, this is what happens. There's different peoples, different personalities, egos, and there's going to be conflicts. And people handle conflicts differently. So. Yep. Things like this are going to happen in any work environment. And AEW is not immune to that. So lately, there's been lots and lots and lots of backstage scuttlebutt around what's going on in AEW, from top guys like CM Punk and Hangman Adam Page to guys like Sammy Guevara and Eddie Kingston. And now even on the women's side, there's Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. And there's just all this drama going on.
There's Tony Khan
had a backstage meeting, apparently a talent meeting backstage with everybody. People got to speak. People got the Tony Khan had a sort of a rally the troops sort of speech and vibe.
AKA his version of rallying the troops. If Triple H calls you, just tell him you have a job, all right?
Yeah. Basically. He even talked about that they sent communication to WWE telling them, hey, do not fucking contact our talent.
Yeah, stop tampering our talent.
Stop that tampering. Stop that. So, there
yeah, that's contract tampering, you assholes. Like, do you want another lawsuit? It's bad enough that, like, we... Wrestling nowadays is just becoming ridiculous with, you know, all the crazy stuff going on behind the scenes, behind closed doors. And that's why we could thank the internet for all that shit, for giving us everything that we need to know what goes on.
Honestly, like, in terms of these backstage stories, like the Sammy Guevara and Eddie Kingston, whatever it was, kerfluffle, disagreement, argument, fight, whatever.
Oh, Eddie, you're fat, and just like fisticuffs. But, you know, Eddie was a man about it. He was wrong.
He came out. He said, I was wrong for that. I reacted in the wrong way. And, you know, he was suspended and served the suspension. And he and Sammy both spent the whole damn day on Twitter on Friday. Just telling people, all right, stop talking about it. It's over. It's done. Leave it alone. So that's one of the stories that I feel like, because of the modern day age and the internet and the way news travels, it's not like back in the day where something like this probably happened all the time. A disagreement over something in a promo or something like that, like a disagreement between guys backstage. And you would never really hear about it until like later on, where there'd be like a shoot interview or something like that that comes out. But yeah. Nowadays on the internet, news travels a lot faster. There's all these like Sammy Guevara is talking to Fightful about it. Like he's reaching out and talking, giving his side of the story. So in this modern day and age, a lot of those backstage stories that I feel like wouldn't have come out as easily back in the day are going to come out more readily now. So, and even with the other stuff, like with the rumor mill is also going to churn a lot faster because of that side effect. Like with the Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker stuff, like now there's a report, I believe it was from Voices of Wrestling, that talked about how Thunder Rosa has a lot of heat in the locker room. Like she and Britt Baker apparently can't stand each other. Her and Jamie Hayter's got beef with her too over breaking her nose in their Battle of the Belts match.
It's usually something that involves something with Britt Baker backstage. Like remember when she had a backstage altercation with B Priestley at the mm-hmm. start of the show? And now here we go again. Britt Baker having another heated argument or a heated altercation with someone else backstage. And it's like Jesus fucking Christ. Like I get that, like we know that people are we know the history of why, like, people are complaining that Thunder Rosa has a history of not treating the wrestlers safe in the ring, the whole sandbagging incident with Marina Shafir and all that other nonsense. And like I we're still talking about this shit? We're still beefing about this? Like is this why these two women just can't get along with each other?
It seems to be a point of contention with Thunder Rosa, and lots of talk about it, especially popping up now that she's injured and had to step away for a bit. She's still champion.
Oh, God.
Yes, we're doing interim champions again. That's what AEW does, man.
Fucking.
That's what they do. but yeah, I mean, again, ahead of the pay-per-view, there's a lot of backstage scuttlebutt and kerfluffle, and I know part of the situation is that maybe, you know, they're trying to work the sheets or whatever, or trying to weave that into the fabric of their reality. But I mean, I'm looking back at this show, and my thought process on it is, as long as it's not sharply impacting the business and the way the shows are done.
Yeah.
Just what can I do as a fan? I'm here trying to enjoy some wrestling. If y'all got beef backstage, handle y'all shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, let's talk about these ratings.
Okay.
Yes, Dynamite. They averaged 1 million viewers, up 9% from last week. That's the biggest audience for the show since February 9th. And they topped the cable charts with a 3.4 in the 18 to 49 key demographic, which is up 13% from last week, and was number one by quite a distance, actually. I think number two was like Real Housewives, and it was like a 2.6 or something like that. So AEW smoked number one with a bullet. So a very strong number. This is why the Warner executives were like, yo, this AEW shit? We fuck with that. We like that. So number one. What are you talking about? They do what they want. They chilling.
No, so, that's not a bad rating indeed. Once again, number one on cable for Turner. Exactly, for AEW.
With the biggest match in company history at the helm of it all.
Raw, though, had a bigger number this week. They went up from last week's. They went up 8%, a 2.01 million rating.
Ooh.
With a 18 to 49 demographic average of 0.55. This is week four of the Paul Levesque era. And again, it's showing that, you know, not only that, like, you know, the numbers don't mean a thing. The numbers could grow, but it's only like the viewership and everyone that's just coming back that hasn't seen this for years. Hour one was at 2.6 million viewers. Going into 9 p.m. the second hour, it dropped at least 2% by 2.4 million viewers. And then it dropped at least another 8% at the 10 o'clock hour, 1.92 million viewers. For this week's Raw, again, not a bad show. The returning Johnny Gargano was probably the one thing that boosted up those ratings within the third hour, because he did make his return at the third hour. And not only that, the ratings for NXT also went up a bit. Okay, here we go here. This week's viewership for August 23rd, 2022, even though I didn't watch it, I saw clippings of it. This week's viewership was 723,000 viewers with a 18 to 49 demographic viewership of 0.14. Again, both of these shows putting on pretty good runs. I mean, I don't watch SmackDown, so I don't know what the ratings are from there, but shows that WWE are turning some things around. They're making a killing this week, especially with the build up towards Clash of the Castle.
Company's on the up. So they said Survivor Series sold out very fast.
Yeah, they sold out, but apparently I didn't buy a ticket yet. So how is it sold out if I didn't buy a ticket? I'm an hour away from Boston, so don't give me that bullshit. Talking about you sold out.
I mean, you could probably check StubHub.
I'm not going. Why would I go when I could just be with my brothers?
You want to enjoy the sports entertainment, pal?
Nah, at this point, if Triple H just starts calling it wrestling again, well, I mean, he lets them get away with saying wrestling. That's right. If we get rid of sports entertainment and call it wrestling again, I'm fine.
We have Johnny Wrestling.
But then if we get rid of sports entertainment, I think it'll be over for the company, because now you got to start paying taxes.
Well, yeah, that was part of why Vince was on that tip. But whatever, they can afford it, and they're fine. With that said, I think it's about time we get to the Dynamite.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And I, TJ, shall ask you, are you ready?
I believe I am ready.
No! I said, are you ready?
I am ready.
Again, I'm ready too. For the thousands in attendance, minus the Angel of Death, it doesn't equal 1,000.
You're on his way.
And the millions. Yeah, we can back some. And the millions watching at home and listening at home. And for one guy in a black hat who apparently just opens and closes the show instead of showing up at the second hour.
Oh, God.
It's time to light the fuse.
And bring the boom.
Did somebody say boom?
You damn right. It's time for Dynamite.
Submitted to the approval of the Banter Club. This is the tale of Punk versus Moxley on free TV.
A horror story indeed.
Without further ado, let's get ready to banter!
AEW Dynamite from Cleveland, Ohio. We open this thing up with Chris Jericho coming down to talk to Daniel Garcia. The Jazz is gonna hash it out right here, right now. Jericho speaks to Garcia, says things got heated last week after your match with Bryan Danielson, which, you know, a great match, but, you know, I think we should smooth things over. And I think you should apologize to me, honestly. We both got a little heated, but I think you should apologize to me and everything will be all right. And the crowd just starts chanting that, you're a wrestler. Whole time they're chanting that, you're a wrestler. And Daniel grabs the mic. He says, Chris, you knew how special it was for me to share the ring with my hero. That was my hero that I wrestled last week. And for 30 minutes, I hung with the best in the world. He says, that match was the type of match that I always dreamt of having as a kid. And I hope that somewhere out there, there was a kid watching it and they caught that same inspiration. He says, you know, I didn't care in that moment what people called me, whether I was a wrestler or a sports entertainer. All I cared about was being in the ring with my hero and having that moment. And you ruined that moment, Chris. And Jericho says, listen, Daniel, there's going to be more moments like that because you're the greatest technical sports entertainer in the world. And I want you to say it. Say you're a sports entertainer. But then Bryan Danielson comes out. The American Dragon comes down to the ring. Says, hey, Daniel, I see your mentor is trying to bully you into saying that you're a sports entertainer. Bryan says, you know, you can say, you can be what you want, but, you know, I would say that you liked wrestling last week. And the crowd chants yes, and Bryan agrees with him. You're a wrestler, Daniel. And Jericho's like, you shut up. Daniel, you say you're a sports entertainer right now. Say it. And then Garcia just gets flustered. He's like, I can't make this decision right now, all right? I got my hero over here. I got my mentor over here. This is too tough of a decision. And then he tries to walk away. But then Jericho grabs him. So he turns around. He shoves Jericho down to the mat.
Oh!
Fucking Danielson is such an instigator. He's looking over at Jericho like, ah, he pushed you. Big ass shit-eating grin from Dragon. So Garcia, he leaves. He walks out. Gets up, walks up the ramp, and departs through the babyface tunnel.
Oh shit! Oh shit!
Through the face tunnel.
Oh shit!
So then Jericho, he's in the ring. He sees Danielson laughing at him, and he gets pissed. He's like, "You listen here, Bryan. You may think you're the best wrestler. Everybody always says you're the best wrestler in the world, but I've never seen it. I don't get it." Says, I'm the best wrestler. I'm Lionheart. And I know more about wrestling than you ever will, Danielson. And then Danielson says, I wonder then, who would win if Lionheart Chris Jericho faced the American Dragon Bryan Danielson? I think Stu Hart would want to see that. And I think he would think I was the better wrestler. And then Jericho gets mad. And then Danielson challenges him. He said, let's see right now, tonight. Lionheart versus American Dragon. And Jericho says, you want Lionheart versus American Dragon? You'll get it. September 4th at All Out. He says, you remember, Danielson, last time we wrestled, I put you out for 2 months. So, you know, before that point comes, September 4th, you should watch your back. And then Jake Hager rushes the ring, fucking bombs Danielson in the back of his head, takes him down. They jump this man, leave him for dead.
I enjoyed the fuck out of this promo.
I did too.
This promo was so much fun. We got build up going into this angle. Like, we got more dissension going on in Jericho's faction. All of this is gonna... The next chapter is going to culminate at All Out. Not because of we're getting Lionheart again. And speaking of that, I told Dave at his show when we did it. We're probably not going to see Lionheart in like another 3 years in AEW. It took us 2 weeks. It took us two fucking weeks.
Tony Khan was like, that shit was actually kind of fire.
It was fucking fun. You want to do it again? This time with Bryan Danielson? Jericho's like, hell yeah. Let's do it at All Out. And I'm like, you know what? This right here is going to tell us where Daniel Garcia go, or where he's going to go. Because right now he's in the middle of this whole situation. Right after the whole 2 out of 3 falls match, he got slotted into this whole angle. It was like, now the whole thing is, where is he going to go? Is he going to be a sports entertainer forever with Jericho? Or is he finally going to, you know, have the realization that he was a true professional wrestler his entire life and joined the Blackpool Combat Club?
He must embrace his destiny.
We're going to get that answer most likely at All Out.
It was a really great segment, I thought. Like, It's exactly how I pictured this story turning out with Garcia, him being with the sports entertainers that he doesn't fucking fit with, and slowly realizing that, nah, man, you a wrestler.
And it was like I told you last week, even though the footage is not up, I told you last week, like, this match was not about, you know, how good of a wrestler Daniel Garcia is. It's how good of a character he's going to become, knowing that he's going to be caught in the middle of this whole situation.
Yes.
And they gave him a lot more depth in his fucking character, and that's what I enjoyed. And in this segment, they gave more of that. It just showed that, like, he could actually have emotion. He can actually talk on the fucking mic.
Yeah. Six even said about this promo that it was extremely, the most genuine he's ever heard him, and it was an extremely genuine promo. And we know Six has been critical of Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, because like here, he just felt more human. He didn't feel like I'm in a gimmick. I'm coming out here. I'm being just me right now. This is what the storyline has to be now. It's Daniel Garcia being him.
Yes. So great segment. And now we move on to Dax Harwood versus Jay Lethal. Dax Harwood has been, he's one, a lot of people giving him Wrestler of the Year consideration, which I think is a fair shout.
Can we not have Cash Wheeler be the Marty Jannetty of the group? That man is Jannetty, great too. Man.
Cash is great. We know.
No, but I'm just saying, like, a lot of people are gonna look at this and like, yo, Cash looks like the Jannetty in this group. Like, I don't want to. I'm not saying that he is, but I don't want people immediately saying that because his partner is getting more singles action than he is.
Nah, I think if Cash, I think it's a choice. And if Cash chooses he wants to do more single stuff, I think he can. Because they're both definitely, these two, FTR is the shit. We know this.
Well, ooh, this match. This was the Ring of Honor match.
This was a solid, hell yeah, this was a Ring of Honor match. Absolutely. Should have had fucking Caprice on this one. Lethal gets the heat with a big second rope Russian leg sweep into the pit. Lethal exchange of waist locks and Dax fucking dumps Jay Lethal with the release German. Dax goes for the sharpshooter. Lethal counters into the figure four. They trade pins. Sanjay interferes to break it up, but Dax bumps him, and then they trade pins. And then Lethal pulls the trunks for the 1, 2, and 3. The dirty heel win. Yes.
That was a huge upset. My major problem was I hated the multiple pin attempts. I hated that shit so much. It's like they took a minute and a half of doing nothing but multiple pin attempts on each other. I'm like, did you guys really just run out of ideas here? This match was so fucking good.
No, and got, man, the counters. The minute, it's deep into the bag. When you deep into the bag, you're just trying to get the win.
I didn't hate the match. I did not hate it. Like, that was just a really big issue with me. Like, you guys had more moves set up, but we really went to just, you know, pulling out all the fucking pins.
They're sounding like they're trying to win the match. I don't mind it.
Though, I'm okay with this.
Post-match, Sanjay's got the mic. He says, you guys, you think you know what's going on and all out, but you don't have a clue. See, I told you it was going to be a trios match, but I never said who the trio would be that you face. It's going to be you guys versus Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns.
The fucking pop from the goddamn crowd. Yo, I was bugging out. I'm like,
I'd pop.
TNA, TNA, TNA. I'm like, yo, the Pinnacle versus TNA? Wow, we're really going for the Forbidden Door again.
I have said many times on the show that the Motor City Machine Guns are one of my favorite tag teams of all time.
Same here.
They are my favorite indie. I think they're the tag team of the 2000s. I'm gonna just be straight up with it. They're the tag team of the 2000s.
There are guys that literally would say, okay, this is my favorite tag team of the WWE. My favorite tag team of ECW. My favorite tag team of WCW. But no, I look at the Motor City Machine Guns like, this tag team is the top one tag team of TNA / Impact. My God. And now, you know, you have, I know that, like, they don't have him for this event, but now They join forces with Kushida and they're now called Time Machine. That's crazy.
That shit is so cool. Like, so much of what you see in modern tag team wrestling is influenced by what the Motor City Machine Guns were doing in TNA and Ring of Honor back in the day when they were the Murder City Machine. Like, those dudes are the shit.
Man, I would not be surprised if the Young Bucks show up, like, after their match, they show up and then they'd be like, Rampage? Friday? Rematch?
Bro, I want the Guns to get a run here in AEW. Like, them, I want them straight up 2-1-2 them in FTR for sure. I gotta have it.
But it's, I mean, it's also good to see the Pinnacle make the return. Now it's baby faces, because, like, holy shit. The Pinnacle, man. My God. We thought we were going to get, like, just, you know, that little teaser of them, like, teasing them, you know, reuniting. And we're going to get it all out now. The Pinnacle will be coming back for, I'm hoping it's not one night only.
Now we got Tony in the back with Thunder Rosa. And Thunder Rosa, she is dealing with an injury. She's in tears talking about this. She's saying that, you know, she has to step aside and they will crown an AEW interim women's world champion. I know some people are listen, man. She got hurt.
The word interim needs to be banned.
No, from professional
wrestling. We need to start vacating championships here because this whole thing become a fucking joke ever since the TNT title had to. At this point, interim is basically vacant's younger sister. The fuck?
It's what AEW. I don't know why. This is why I don't know why you still complaining at this point. This is what they do. They've this done it with joke. All like, their yo, titles. This, like, not a joke. It's just what they do. They do it in real sports.
Okay, but here's the thing. What if Thunder Rose's injury has been going for like a year? Like, we're going to keep going with this interim shit for a while.
Obviously,
like, nah.
They don't think it's going to be a year. If it was a year, she would relinquish the title and they would vacate it.
I would have been like, my man, just start vacating this shit because I don't want to see one guy hold on to two of the exact same belt. And I'm hoping next week, after we just saw the fucking match that, oh my God, after we just saw that shit, I'm hoping I don't see Moxley come out with two of the same belts next week.
We'll see. The idea, as it always is you set up a big match for the return. So whoever wins on Sunday will be champion for however long. And then when Thunder Rosa comes back, boom, big match right there. It's what they do. We got father versus son. Billy Gunn versus Colton Gunn. Billy and Colton are trading early into the picture-in-picture where fucking Billy tells his own son to suck it and does the crotch chop and the crowd pops huge. Or rather, Taz calls it, he did the gimmick to his own son. That's crazy.
Because he can't fucking say it.
Doing the gimmick to your own kid. That's crazy. Colton gets the heat, but Billy fights back and he starts to beat the shit out of him. He's stomping him out, putting the boost to him in the corner. But then Aubrey backs him up and calms him down. She's like, hey, that's your son. Relax.
It's like, then, it's a wrestling ring. Anything goes here.
Yeah, man. They signed the contract.
Like, I don't then, give a fuck if he's my own son. I'm going to whip his ass.
He's going to get this work. That's my kid. Get the hell out of my way. I got to show him what's what.
Yeah, this is what happens when you betray your own father. You're going to, like, see, white people don't beat their own kid's ass. They need to start beating their kid's
that's
ass.
The problem.
And right here, right now, Billy Gunn.
If the guns were black,
Billy whipped one
this would have never been an issue.
Yeah, this would have not been an issue. Billy just whipped one half of his son's ass. He's still gotta beat the other one.
Yeah. But then the other one, he pops up on the outside. He takes out Anthony Bowens. Fucking Stoke. He pops in. He takes out Caster with the boombox. And then Colton low blows his dad. You know what? No more brothers. And he hits Colt 45 for the 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, and man.
So Colton wins. He defeats his own father. And then post-match, he continues to beat down his own father. Stoke joins up with the Ass Boys. But then out come the tag team champions, Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee. They come down for the save and run the heels off. So, we got Stoke building up his little squad. And again, the Acclaimed, crazy over.
Yeah, like these guys, oh my God, these guys are just fucking amazing. Max Caster, when he gets on that mic. Yeah, I've seen it for quite some time. He does have some hit and misses here and there sometimes, but you know, this one, like, he was okay. The Max, yeah, though, like, you know, I'm not going to say it was bad, but it was just one of those where it's like, okay, at least Billy and his sons have an angle with each other for now, because the Acclaim have to deal with what they're going to have all over the weekend with the tag team champions. Swerve in Our Glory, because they have a backstage.
That was an angle.
Yeah, they have a backstage segment.
Yeah. So now we got Tony with Death Triangle and the United Empire. Osprey says, "You know, Pac, you and I are very familiar. Last time you and I faced off, bruv, we had a 30-minute drool. And I'm glad you brought your friends, because I've got mine with me." And then Pac says, "We've made a decision as a group. We're not going to kill you. We're going to murder you. Because this is Death Triangle territory." This man said, "We're not going to kill you.
We're going to murder you."
What?
It's the same word.
That's the same shit.
It's the same shit.
Like, murder literally means to kill.
Like, come on. Oh, something told me to someone intentfully wrote this kill. Shit.
No, I think that was Pac just trying to come up with a hard line.
Notice how Will Ospreay is the British version of Vince Russo. He kept saying bruv a lot.
Yeah, bruv.
And Aussie Open coming out with the New Japan Strong tag team belts too. I'm like,
yes, they have the New Japan Strong tag team.
I'm like, oh shit, those look Billy. Way better than the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
Billy Goat is the fucking IWGP US champion. Now we got Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, versus Kylan King. Britt Baker, of course, in the four-way for the Interim Women's Championship alongside Toni Storm, Jamie Hayter, and Hikaru Shida.
Yeah, and people are wondering, where the fuck is Hikaru Shida been?
Japan.
Yeah. Well, all of a sudden, she just, like, appears from out of nowhere.
Yeah. And she's had some dark matches here and there.
Again, I don't watch that shit!
Well, you gotta be watching dark, man. You might see you some Hikaru Shida, man. You know what I'm saying?
Like, why do they have her on dark when she should be on Dynamite?
I agree. She should also be on Dynamite. I definitely agree with that.
The fuck is it?
She,
like,
she'd be on dark.
What, did she just get demoted? What the hell is this?
Nah, she ain't get demoted. She's been to Japan. Of course, Cleveland fucking hates Pittsburgh. That's beef. Brown Steelers. So Britt Baker is a forever heel here, much like CM Punk in Long Island. Britt tries to strike with Kylan King, but King beats her out, drops her with a German suplex. But Britt's able to quickly come back. It's a heat. Drops her with the curb stomp and then quickly puts on lockjaw. She gets the W. Britt Baker wins. And then she grabs the mic and I ain't gonna lie to you, I was low-key dreading this, because every time Britt Baker has been in Cleveland so far, she's cut the same fucking damn promo talking shit about Cleveland. But she actually did not do that this time.
I can't stand her fucking promos.
She says, "You know, when I was champ, I wrestled my entire reign with a broken freaking wrist, because that's what a champion does." See, that's why they saying Britt and Thunder Rosa hate each other. She always talking shit. She says, "Coming up at the pay-per-view, Toni Storm, now I got to deal with you. You're finally going to be in a pay-per-view match with somebody where someone gives a shit, because you're going to be in there with me." And she says, and Toni immediately comes out, no music, no nothing. She coming out for the smoke. But then Britt is like, "Oh yeah, Jamie Hayter is also going to be there." And then Jamie runs down, knocks out Toni from behind, and they're beating her down. But then Hikaru Shida She runs down for the save. She's got a kendo stick, and they run the heels off. And that sets up a tag for the go-home show. Britt and Jamie versus Sheeta and Toni Storm. Which should actually be a pretty good match.
You know, do you want to see Britt Baker hold on to the fucking belt again? If it was her, no, I do not.
Neither do I. Out of all four women in this match, she is the last option I want to win. I would be good with Jamie Hayter winning. I would be good with Toni Storm winning. I think Toni Storm is going to win. I would be very happy if she would possibly be
Jamie Hayter. Because that would be the fourth place pick. Your second place pick will be Britt Baker. Third place will be Carl Shea. But number one, single-handedly, would be Toni Storm.
Now we got Toni with the Acclaimed and Swerve and Keith Lee. The champs are like, you know, we saved you guys, not just because, you know, everybody loves the Acclaimed. Because, yes, we do like you guys. But we also find you worthy. We consider you worthy for a match for our tag team championships at All Out. Then Max grabs the mic. He's like, we appreciate that you saved us. And then that, you know, you find us worthy. But we don't need your help for anything. Because we are AEW's best homegrown tag team. And at All Out, we're taking those titles, says Bowens. Because everyone loves the Acclaim.
Do you think it's their time? Scissor. Do you think it's their time?
I could see it happening. I don't know if it is tough to say, because I also think you could run more with Swerve and Keith Lee, but it's not a bad spot.
We could say that they could run more stuff with Swerve and Lee, but you know, we also, you know, off of this, we've also said the same thing about the Young Bucks when they had their second run. Now all of a sudden, Fyter Fest happened and they lost the belts.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to just give my prediction out here right now. I say right here and now, you give it to the homegrown talent, and that's actually the Acclaim. They're fucking over. The crowd love them. And, you know, they could have amazing tag. Like, they have single-handedly the best tag team record overall within all the tag teams in AEW.
Max said that they have the most wins.
So yeah, I think it's time to pull the trigger. I think it's absolutely time to give it to the Acclaim. I think 100% they earned it, they deserve it, and the crowd is going to enjoy this fucking run. I think we all will enjoy this goddamn run, no doubt about it.
Now it is time for the AEW Championship Unification Match. World Champion versus Interim Champion. God damn, man. I didn't even say the name yet. John Moxley versus CM Punk. Look, only because
this shit started at the beginning of the second hour.
They kept plugging
this match. They kept saying, oh, this match is up next. It's up next. I'm like, what? It's up next?
Yeah, because I'm sitting here like, wait. We still got the fucking trios match. What do you mean?
We got Ricky Starks. I know we got another match after the trios match, but we got two more matches and we got Ricky Starks. Like, why are we doing this now? What the fuck is going on here?
So, yeah, this John Moxley versus CM Punk, top of the hour, 9:00. I will say this. These guys come out and I get the vibes, and I've been getting the vibes over the past week and as the days go on, but there's a point here where Justin Roberts does the intros and Punk gets booed. You hear very loud boos for Punk, and I'm like, yeah, I think this dude's turning heel. I just, the vibes with it, heavy heel turn vibes. So these, they big match intro, big fight feel. They fucking are fucking with JR's audio levels. Like, he is extremely loud over the other commentators. Like, I think Taz is talking at one point and you just hear JR, hard collar and elbow tie up, my God. I'm like, what the hell's going on here, man? Fix JR's audio. But they tie up. Mox corners Punk early. Punk fights back. hits him with a high kick, but immediately drops down to his knees and is clutching at his foot.
I kicked with my right, but I fucked up my left.
Well, what foot did he plant?
Well, apparently, well, this is the thing. Everybody was confused. Because here's the thing, TJ, like, what foot was it that he first injured? Was it the right or was it the left?
I can't remember, but I would have to say it was the left.
It was the left.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. For a guy
of his stature. So the one he hurt here was the left.
Well, this was the problem. It was one of those where it's like, you put all of your muscle on that one foot that's on the ground just so you can lift up that one leg to kick Moxley's head. Turn, oh, I think it's right when he turned. He couldn't turn the foot immediately.
Yep, it was the
and
turn.
Right then and there, it was like, ah!
He literally lost on a heel turn.
But for some reason, people were saying backstage, oh, this is all Moxley's doing. This is what Moxley wanted. He wanted this to be 3 fucking minutes. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, was Punk really working us the whole fucking time that since he returned? And then also your question also, is he turning heel? Because he had his facial expressions kind of explained that there is a turn coming.
Oh, well, yeah. Now, with that, Punk goes down. Mox immediately drops on him. Shark smelling blood. Drops the elbows on him. Wrenches the ankles. Hits the fucking Death Rider. Hits a second Death Rider. Pins him. 1, 2, 3. John Moxley
and the crowd,
squashes CM Punk.
And the crowd is just gasped like if Brock Lesnar saw The Undertaker beat him at WrestleMania. Like, he beat him in under 3 minutes? You gotta be fucking kidding me here.
And Taz immediately tells the story here. Did Punk come back too soon? And JR goes, he got his ass whipped. That's what happened.
Damn it, Taz, he just got his ass whipped by John Moxley.
Got his ass whipped. And then here's where it clicks with me. Ace Steel comes out. He's helping Punk. They've got Punk, well, you know, on their shoulders and everything, helping him out. Punk turns around with John Moxley up in the crowd celebrating with everybody, and the crowd's going crazy. They're cheering Mox. And Punk turns around and just gives this look of anguish, and that's when I realize he's turning heel. There's no doubt in my mind.
You
that
know, so
image of Punk, and it's going to be up there. The image of Punk turned around, just looking around at all these people, the people who he fought for and came back too early for. They're cheering his downfall and siding with John Moxley, the guy who beat him. He's turning heel. If I'm wrong,
guys,
I feel silly.
There were guys
this lines
the,
up way too well.
There were guys on the fucking comments. I'm not going to mention names. But some of these comments were just ridiculous. One guy wrote in the comments, oh, wow, look at all the WWE booking that just happened within this match. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then one guy wrote oh, my God, this one, I'm like, I don't know if I wanted to laugh or just be like, wow, you must hate professional wrestling that much. I was like, what I just witnessed was 2022's version of the finger poke of doom.
That's ridiculous.
You are out of your fucking mind.
But if you want to compare it to a WWE book, I'll compare it to one. Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, 2016 Survivor Series. A good one.
Yeah,
a
good
shock
one.
Victory that reminds the audience, it trains the audience to remember anything could happen. You may think this is going to be a 20-minute back-and-forth classic with near falls and all that because that's what you expect in these type of matches, but anything could happen. It reinforces that idea. Just like that match did, I think this match will do that.
And that also leads to the biggest question that's on everyone's mind is, now that this match already happened, what's going to be the main event of All Out?
And that's the second part of this.
We need the world title to be defended at All Out. So are we going to get this? Are we going to get a rematch?
That's like, what do we do? Then Punk seemingly just re-injured himself. So with that.
Everyone's saying MJF.
But Dave Meltzer says CM Punk is still the scheduled opponent.
Well,
internally. So we got one Dynamite left to see what's going to happen.
And not only that, like, you know, I think they didn't even plug this throughout the whole show. They did not plug the main event of the world title at all for All
they
Out.
Did not.
You know, when the start of the show, even after, even like before the match, they didn't plug it. After the match, it still was not plugged. So I guess next week we're going to find out whether it's going to be a rematch or they have a new opponent for Jon Moxley to face off against.
This is a crazy situation, a shocker. And I grappled with it for a little bit, but this is where I stand. I think it was a bold, risky, but a good idea ultimately.
Hey, the ratings fucking proved it. You know, sometimes, I mean, I don't want to say this was a Bischoff thing, like controversy creates cash, but this was also pretty risky. This could have been like, you know, this could have been something that got viewers watching next week, or this could have been your fucking nosedive to people turning it the fuck off and watching something else.
And I feel like if this is what you were going to do, I can understand why you would do it on TV and not on pay-per-view.
Like, this was sort of a scary situation because I even told you last week, like, this match could have ended in a draw. It could have been an hour draw if that was the case, but no, they decided to go the opposite.
Doing it at 9 o'clock, it set up that fake out, like, okay, this might go long as hell.
Yeah.
Only for it to be a squash. Like and I think what makes it work is that AEW does not do it very often. Like they don't do things like this often.
No.
So it's an effective subversion of your expectations. And if the follow-up pans out in a way that makes sense and enhances the story, then I think ultimately it was a good idea. So now we got Tony with Christian Cage. Christian's got a cast on. He says, Jungle Boy, you know, last week I tried to give you one more chance. I tried to give you one more opportunity to get the band back together, but you pissed it away. And that's fine. You see, I'm a legend in this business. You dare challenge me? You can't throw anything at me that I haven't seen, that I haven't done. I accept your challenge, and I'll see you it all out.
Tom, go.
Oh, my God.
Tom, go.
The problem solver.
Either he's going to solve the problem or Luchasaurus is going to turn heel again.
We're going to see. Now we got absolute Ricky Starks coming down to the ring. He is pissed off with all he's had to deal with lately. Says, you know, talks about Powerhouse Hobbs and you know how all the old heads used to tell him that, you know, this is show business. This ain't friends business. And he always thought he was the exception because he had a friend in Hobbs. Hobbs, a dude that checked on him mentally and physically every day when he broke his neck, you know, just to make sure he was good. And, you know, he says, Hobbs, you know, when you were out here wearing bedazzled shirts and being Britt Baker's bodyguard, I plucked you out of that obscurity and brought you to the spotlight. I made sure you ate. I made sure we were good. I always shared the spotlight with you. And then you went from my neck knowing what I went through, you tried to take it all away from me again. He gets all emotional. But he says, Hobbs, since you want to keep quoting New Jack City, bring your $5 ass to Chicago and fight me at All Out. He should have finished it.
Nino Brown looking motherfucker.
He should have finished it. Bring your $5 ass to Chicago so I can make change.
He should have just said, bring your $5 ass to Chicago so I can cancel you, bitch.
Hell yeah. But I like that.
That should have been the fucking line right there.
I thought this was a great promo. Like, it's crazy that it kind of got lost in the shuffle with everything else that's been going on this week. But, like, this was a great promo. Ricky Starks is fantastic.
My man's what's after All Out? We got Full Gear after All Out, right?
Yes.
Please. I mean, can we get for the pay-per-view? Because I know the title is not going to be defended unless they want to pull a rabbit out of their ass this Wednesday and put this title on the line. But can we please have this man, Ricky Starks, as the All Atlantic champion? Please give us Pac versus Ricky Starks at Full Gear for the All Atlantic championship.
We might be clearly Pac is going in a different direction, which we're about to talk about. We got Jon Moxley, your one and only AEW world champion.
And he holds on to two belts and
Man, listen, this looked dope as hell to me. I don't care, man. This dude says, oh, what? Was this not how it was supposed to go? He says, the only people that thought that CM Punk could beat me are all the same people that doubted me from day one, and they don't mean shit. They don't matter. Those people that doubted me, they never mattered. He says, there is only one Jon Moxley. I am the guy in this industry. I don't follow any rules. He says, you know, everybody always asks, when is it my time? And I tell you what, my time is right now. My time is right goddamn now. So fucking right when he said there is only one Jon Moxley. There ain't nobody doing it like this dude, man. What a fucking promo.
The only deathmatch wrestler in AEW to become a two-time. Now he could officially call himself the first ever two-time AEW world champion. Now we can get. Now all we have to do is ban the word interim and
listen, man. And
fucking like, I want that word to be banned.
Talk about wrestler of the year. Mox is a front runner. Like, he has had an incredible 2022. This dude's been amazing.
Yeah, he's now the first ever two-time AEW champion. The first ever longest reigning AEW world champion, I think, yeah, next to Omega and shit.
I think Omega is the longest reigning.
I gotta look at that. Like Omega had it for like a year, did he?
Close to it.
Yeah, probably close to it. No, because he lost that Full Gear because he won the belt at Winter is Coming. He won that's it when at Winter Sting is debuted. Coming
and, yeah. and lost it at Full Gear. So that's like 11 months, close to a year.
Yeah, close.
So,
all right.
Yeah. So now, you know, we go over the return of Kenny Omega last week, and then Don Callis joins commentary because it looks like there's been enough talk. It's time for the main event.
Yo, honestly, I watched the whole match and I did not know. I think it was like in the 5 minutes of the go home spot. I did not know that Don Callis was commentary the whole fucking time.
Oh, yeah. He was out there. AEW Trios Championship Tournament, Death Triangle versus United Empire. Death Triangle has a new entrance.
Oh my god. So this is the one thing that I hated. First of all, the match officially started at 9:20. At 9:20, son. No bullshit. So at 9:20, I'm like, damn. This buildup was weird. The minute Death Triangle made their entrance, we go to commercial. And here's where the WWE shit started coming into play. They started plugging two more things. And then a backstage interview before United Empire made their entrance, commercial. We come back, they're in the fucking ring, and I'm just like, God fucking damn it. It is 9:37. The bell has officially rung.
And it begins. They go to the best friends. They're at ringside enjoying some Snapple, according to JR. Chuck Taylor's got some Snapple.
All right, Danhausen. He was right behind him.
Yes, Danhausen was also there. Very nice, here. Very evil. Yes.
Very nice, very evil. Danhausen shirt.
Yes. We start this shit off with Rey Fénix and Will Ospreay. And I was like, you already know what time it is. Let's go.
It's time for some best of Super Junior shit minus Ricochet.
We filtering out the crybabies instantly, because we get ultra flippy. I love that shit.
Yeah, we do the opening shit that pisses off everyone from the territory days.
I was like, let's go instantly. Let them know. Turn this shit off right now. We don't want to hear you. Go complain somewhere else. We're doing what we do right now. Go the fuck home. We getting crazy right now. So they're working. Death Triangle takes control. All hit trios dive to the outside. She was awesome. Excalibur talks about how Will Ospreay has wrestled 18 matches this month, including the finals of the G1 Climax against Kazuchika Okada. Yep. And while Excalibur is talking about how much Will Ospreay has worked this much, Death Triangle just all starts chopping the absolute shit out of him. Like, he's in the corner getting fucking pasted by Pac and Penta and Fénix. They're all just chopping him to death. Like, crazy that Ospreay, he's a machine. He's an absolute machine. Like Excalibur said, he did all that very recently, worked the finals of the G1, and then worked the bulk of this match on this show. Like, that dude is insane.
My God. The insanity between, like, just the very beginning of this shit, you know, best of Super Junior vibes from the very beginning, all the chain wrestling, all the counters, all the crazy, like, just get the crowd into a standing ovation, clapping. It's just like, you knew you were in for a treat. At the very beginning, because it just gets fucking better.
It continues. We come back from break. Aussie open is taking control. Ospreay hits the fucking Sky Twister press to the outside. This man is wild. Aussie Open follows with the rocket launch on Rey Fénix. JR just starts openly tampering on air. Fucking talk about Tony Khan tampering. Here you go, JR tampering. Hey, Tony, you should sign this guy Ospreay, all right? Get this man. Sign him on the dotted line. Come on now. He's signed,
Jim. My roster is full right now.
About to fuck up the whole partnership with New Japan.
Word.
Rey Fénix fights back on Aussie Open. It's a crazy lucha double arm drag. Then Penta follows up, ends up with a Cazadora into a crazy looking crucifix bomb. We go to break where Pac is pushed in front of the best friends, including his old rival, Orange Cassidy. Fucking JR is out here just naming objects. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He's like bar soap, string.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that JR was off his game in this one. I think he was just being right, because like if you're watching this on the fight app, you know, you'll catch JR in his best moments, moments. And I think this was one of his hidden gems, where it was like bar of soap, bowl of cereal, barbecue sauce, and I'm just like, by God, JR,
what the hell are you talking about, man?
What is going on? Like, what you're talking about is gold, but shit, this is not what's going on in the match.
Yeah, right now we got Penta and Ospreay. They're trading, and Pat comes in, snap German suplexes Ospreay, then goes for the deadlift German, but Ospreay grabs the ropes. But Fénix rope walk kicks him in the face, and Pat lands the suplex. And the singles guys get pulled out. The tag guys start working, and then fucking Pat and Ospreay hit double poison Ranas, and they face off in a crazy ass anime spot. That shit was crazy. Here it's Pac and Ospreay. Ospreay eats another snap German, but then gets a big burst, drops Pac with the Os Cutter, and Pac comes back, murders Ospreay with an avalanche brain buster. Then Ospreay sets Pac up top for a tombstone, but Fénix runs up and kicks him. And then here it is, Rey Fénix. Rana's Ospreay off the top, and then Ospreay lands on his feet.
And the crowd now goes fucking nuts. Like, ding, 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 ding.
And Rey Fénix is like, ¿Qué mierda fue eso?
But then Rey Fénix was like, oh, word, how about this then? And then he hits this insane cutter on Ospreay. He takes a crazy head bump.
Jesus, my God, yo. These guys just love taking these crazy fucking head bumps when it's like DDTs or just something right off the top. I was just like, Will, you just came back from a neck injury. What does, like, why are you trying to hurt yourself? Don't kill yourself, man.
This man is wild. Then Pat comes back, big moonsault to the outside, and then he locks eyes with Awesome 5000 in the crowd. I am Awesome. So then Pat has had enough. He approaches Awesome, and Awesome is like, weak. And then Pat grabs the box, takes it off, and it's a Joker trap. It's not Kip Sabian. It's someone who seems to be held hostage. And then Kip attacks him from behind. Kip Sabian has returned.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, now we're going to get that match at All Out. I forgot about that shit. Yes. So, it's been way too long because I was getting sick and tired of Kip Sabian trying to pull this Shia LaBeouf bullshit. I'm like, dude, it's been 2.5 years already. Either make your return or just fucking leave at this point. Because right now, all you're doing is spectating. You are that guy that just loves to spectate Battle Royale matches the minute you die.
Well, I'm he's like, back.
Do something. But now he's back. And you know
takes
what?
Takes back out. He puts his box back on his head. Awesome L is out of here.
And you know what? Let me say some stuff about it. Because you guys got to talk a lot about Kip Sabian from the very beginning of AEW when you debuted the show and, you know, when he got injured. I didn't really get to talk that much about him, especially with the pay-per-views and stuff. So, you know, I would like to give at least 2 minutes of my time to tell you how I feel about Kip Sabian. I think, honestly, he could be one of the best wrestlers in AEW. Honestly, you know, watching the whole marriage thing with Penelope Ford, I thought it was funny, but again, it was one of those where it's like, all right, here's one that they could just mock WWE for, and now that they have Miro, here's an even bigger mock. But he can fucking work that ring. He has a really good character. A lot of people could say, oh, they didn't get it, but I got it. He was, what was it, that was Joy Janela. Was it the bad guy or something with Kip Sabian?
Bad? He was super bad.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. He wasn't McLovin, but he was super bad. But, you know, that gimmick could go over. It can. You know, if Joey Janela was still around, that could have been a good tag team, him and Kip. And I thought they would have done that if Kip Sabian wasn't injured for 2.5 fucking years. But I'm happy he's back.
I don't think he's different that long. It was like a year
and a half. I mean, they had him cleared for a good minute, but I was just like, what are we going to be doing with him at this point? Because I know
it's been a minute, and he had been in the crowd for so long.
Eight months ago, they said that he was cleared?
I think so, something like that. And then so he was still just chilling.
What the fuck? Let's do something with this kid. This kid is money. I say that to everyone that's in AEW right now. I say it's Darby. I say it's a rookie. Hell, I even say it to Sammy Guevara. Even though he called Eddie Kingston fat and he kind of deserved getting punched and they both apologized.
Eddie said he was wrong.
But look, Kip Sabian could bring a lot to the table in AEW. And if they plug this match for the All Atlantic Championship, which you know they're going to do, TJ, because AEW just loves to give us these 5-hour plus shows. And guess what? We don't have to work I don't know if you guys have to work the next day, but it's Labor Day, so we have free.
I probably don't. I'll see.
But yeah. Wait till Wednesday and just be prepared then. But let's... I think we're not done with the smash, though. We have more.
Yeah, Pack is down. And then they've got Fénix in the ring. They hit the three-way Oz Cutter. It lands for the 1, 2, and 3. United Empire wins an incredible fucking fantastic trios match. Dave Meltzer gave it 5 stars. I would go high bars, but however you want to rate it, this match was insane.
I would agree with you on that 100%. I mean, you know, Will Ospreay has been saying that Dave Meltzer has given this man a lot of 5 stars. I don't know what his
I think the only one now who has more 5-star matches than Will Ospreay is Misawa.
Oh yeah, Misawa has like more than 5 5-star ranking
matches. I think Misawa has like 26 5-star matches.
My God, I was just gonna say 12, but 26? Jeez, yeah. And I bet most of them was with Kenta Kobashi. Well, most of them were.
Kobashi's definitely in like most of them, yeah.
Most of them was probably with all the 4 pillars. I mean, like Akiyama. Because
a bunch of them are like tag matches with all the pillars, yeah.
Yeah, Tawe, you know. Yeah, of course. Kawada, too. Like,
yeah, Kawada. Yeah,
exactly. Like, it's crazy. Like, you know, we watched Will Ospreay. This is before, you know, you and I even did, you know, recaps on the Rainbow Man Show for New Japan. But we've been watching Ospreay for years. We've even said that, you know, you and I started watching New Japan. You started watching that, I think it was way before, you know, Bullet Club. I started watching a year after Bullet Club, you know, debuted. So I got to build up on a lot of history, but we got to learn a lot about Will Ospreay with Super Junior stuff, the matches that he had at Wrestle Kingdom, the junior heavyweight titles and shit. Everything with Chaos, you know. Even the match that we recapped with him and Ibushi for the Never Openweight title. Like, I think we even gave that match a go.
Ospreay has been one of the best in the world for a while now.
I think now since he moved up to the heavyweight division in New Japan, he has 100% stepped his game. But this is Meltzer rating this man 5 stars. Like, I can't say that, like, we give this man 5 stars in all of his matches, but he has put on matches that are capable of being worth 5-star calibers. And this match indeed could have been one of them, but I think we can honestly agree on both of our points. We both give it a 4.5.
Yeah, this match was absurdly great. I love this shit. It's exactly what I envisioned thinking about these trios titles and how much I wanted them for so long, because I knew that this is something that, you know, we don't typically get to see all that much on American television on a high level like this. So I feel like this is going to be one of those things that really sets AEW apart. It's dope shit.
It is more importantly, too, an open opportunity for these trio titles for everyone to be a part of, and not just AEW. Like, you get your guys from Impact, get your guys from Ring of Honor, get your guys from New Japan. Hell, you can get guys from AAA, if that's the case, to compete in this stuff. You know, we could start making this trio stuff feel as if it's competition, not just to WWE, but to AEW, that they're welcoming everyone that they're in partnership with to go after these belts, hold on to these belts, bring it to their promotions, defend it, make it feel it's worth our time to watch and pay attention to and be like, hey, these trios belts are actually not just being used in only AEW, but maybe in AAA, in New Japan, Impact, Ring of Honor, you know, all that stuff. Hell, if it's the case, maybe MLW, if they decide to do a partnership with them. Who knows? This is an open opportunity for everyone to, you know, feel happy that there are trios championships, and maybe AEW could do something correctly with them and not just have it build up on just AEW guys. Let's start building it up to all these other promotions too. And I know we could do it if we try. Just got to start believing.
Yeah, that'll come along with time.
Just got to start believing in it. But overall, like, you know, so far, the Trios tournament within Dynamite and Rampage has been pretty good. As I told you, TJ, and I think, I think I did tell you, but I think we both agreed that the House of Black were not going to, you know, advance into this tournament. It was most likely going to come down to, it might be in the finals. We're going to get the Elite versus the Dark Order because of that promo that we talked about on the last AEW recap that we did.
We knew, and the way they did it made sense to me, like with the story, with the stuff they're doing with Miro, they get the spin off into something and the Dark Order moves on. It makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, and this is why I also tell you that we're probably going to get more matches. Like, I know we said that, like, you know, we might, like, there probably might be a singles thing with Miro against anyone from the House of Black, but it's probably just going to be a trios match between Miro teaming up with Sting and Darby Allin taking on the House of Black.
Most likely.
At All Out. You know, we have, again, a prime example of them doing the whole trios thing. We need to start building up all these trios. And I'm not saying that, you know, Miro's going to be a trios guy for the time being, but this is just him being a part of this angle since he was.
Yeah, this is enemy of my enemy type shit.
Yes. All right. So, like, you guys are fighting with my enemy, so I'm going to team up with you guys one night only so that we can take out the House of Black and all that other shit. Let's try to get Kip Sabian in the All Atlantic Championship match. I kind of want to see this belt be defended on the pay-per-views. I know people say, oh, watch Dark. It gets defended on Dark. I don't care. I need this belt defended on Dynamite where I can actually watch it and on the pay-per-views where it doesn't feel like it's being wasteful or by just having held on by one person. Let's have this belt be used for something and we can have an angle going on here.
It is being used. You're just not watching it.
I mean, I've heard it's being used in like independent promotions and shit. It is being used.
I just haven't seen the matches.
I've seen some of it, but I mean, like, you know, for AEW purposes, we need it on TV more.
I get what you want it on TV. That's fair. I understand that.
That I get.
But yeah, that's this match. And then to end the show, the Elite comes out to initiate the Universe Mode cutscene. And next week, we got the Elite versus United Empire, Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay.
And the question that
AEW ring.
And the question that comes to everyone's mind, who's going to kick out of the One Wing Angel?
It's going to be me, bro. What, kick all that shit?
Okay, so after the cameras went off, that's when the show got really interesting.
I mean, the cameras are still on, technically, if you're talking about the promo.
Well, we got to see a tidbit because you know how AEW likes to be tedious with their shit. I still ask the question, are we ever going to find out what happened with fucking Dragon Lee after last week? You know,
you gotta figure out
I was waiting for that on this show and it didn't give us that. I'm like, oh, well, fuck you then, Tony. What the hell? You could have at least gave us a package promo of them giving us answers of why they did that. You just said, no, fuck. Like, no, you just said, oh, well, we're going to leave you on a cliffhanger there. But this one was like, this was not a cliffhanger. This one was like, let's get tedious with these people because they're going to want to watch the full video within the next couple hours or the next few minutes, the minute someone uploads the full footage, I'm fucking up today, on YouTube, on their phone, and they send it to the latest dirt sheet and be like, hey, I got this sweet-ass footage of Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay shooting on each other off camera. And my God, Will Ospreay was Vince Russo off camera. Bruv.
Oi, let me tell you, bruv.
And I'm like, oi, bruv, shut the fuck up. I love you, but shut up.
That's how we talk, bruv. That's how we talk around me ends, bruv.
I'm like, yo, can we just have him and Vince Russo in a brawl for all for the battle of the word bro or bruv?
Bro. Bruv. Tell you what's going on here, bruv.
They were throwing words because I think they've been waiting to say this shit for a long time to one another.
They've been sniping at each other for a while. So now, nonetheless, that's Dynamite. An eventful show, to say the least. And I guess I can attempt to compartmentalize it all. It had big bill toward All Out. And which is a card that, a lot like Forbidden Door, didn't have the strongest of builds, which was influenced by some out outside factors, a little bit of wayward booking, but a lot like Forbidden Door, it ended up being this big reinforcement of AEW's deep-ass talent pool and their ability to pull together and end stretches and stick the landing. I think AEW has always been really good, no matter what, at sticking the landing for the most part. Like,
yeah,
this world title match was a risky call. And again, I get why, if this is the plan that Tony was married to, it's safer to do it on Dynamite than on pay-per-view. Because while I don't mind an effective subversion of the established main event match, I can understand marketing your biggest match in company history to ultimately be a 3-minute squash on a $60 show. I understand that that's not a risk you want to take. But they had a phenomenal main event. And even they had a phenomenal opening segment with Daniel Garcia grappling with the idea of sports entertainment versus wrestling on this week's Degrassi. It was fun, dramatic shit.
You said Degrassi. Whatever it takes.
All right. They got a Degrassi channel on Pluto too.
I know. They have their own fucking channel. Yo, can we just save that for when we go live later? We'll talk about the Pluto stuff.
So, yeah, a lot of good stuff on the show. I really liked it. So, again, you know, roads get bumpy, but AEW takes me to the promised land more often than they don't, I would say. So, let's see where this all goes.
You know, honestly, when I watch AEW, it's just, you know, I'm about to feast my eyes on some interesting shit, and I'm not stealing Dominik Dijakovic shit here.
Feast your eyes.
Literally, you have to feast your eyes on what you're about to watch for the 2 hours that you have on Wednesday nights here. They are worth basically taking the time out of your day from 8 to 10 to just look at some very good sports-based product here with, you know, 30% entertainment. You want to know what the positive thing I found that I thought about this show was?
What?
No blood.
Yeah, Moxley, Punk was like, oh, you're going to bleed all over me. Mox ain't even bleeding this shit.
False advertisement, indeed.
Smoked his ass. Packed his ass up.
We are going to bring it home here, and I would like to have the great one remind all of our Ramble Maniacs and all of their BC aliens on where to find us, so let them know.
Yeah. You already know where to find us. Find us on Instagram at Ramble Mania Show and at Banter Club Podcast. Find us on Twitter at Ramble Mania, Facebook.com/Ramble Mania Show. Also find our group there, Ramble Mania Show's Banter Club. We and the other wrestlers, podcasters, everybody we associate with, post all our goings on and all that's going down. As far as audio goes, wherever your audio is found, that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Overcast, everywhere your podcasts are found, search Ramble Mania Show or Banter Club. As far as the visuals, twitch.tv/RambleManiaShow. We're up on Spotify Video, on YouTube. Search Ramble Mania Show or Bench Club when you get here, like the videos. Click subscribe and click the bell so that when a new content drops, it goes straight to you.
Yeah.
And as for me personally, find me on Instagram at TJTheGreat1. That's TJ the GR, the number 8, the number 1. And find me on Twitter at TJTheGreat. That's TJ the GR, the number 8. It's as simple as that.
TJ the Great. TJ the Great. Whew. You can find me on Instagram at iZombies. IZombiesZ. Mans, we got a hectic schedule next week. The huge Labor Day weekend. We got Raw live reactions. We got 2.0 live reactions. We will be doing our Clash of the Castle predictions after 2.0. We got Dynamite. We got a bunch of shit. And then we got Clash of the Castle and All Out. The Ramble Mania Championship will be defended on both those shows. The Great One will have to see if he can walk away from this whole weekend with the title, or there will be a new champion indeed.
Ain't no way in hell, son.
Well, we're about to find out next week because, like I said, huge weekend ahead of us. For TJ the Great, I am Hazel the Eye Zombie. This has been Banter Club's Dynamite Recap. We would like to wish all the Ramble Maniacs and all you BC aliens, hey, porting goodies, ear. It's fuck sweet.
And a good fight and a good night.
Where's the... Oh, shit. I don't have the machine gun. God damn it.
God damn, pal. You gotta let it fly.
Fuck it.
You know what to do.